Now to Accessible Gardens here on RNIB Connect Radio with Seeing Through the Senses, as we hear all about how the RNIB have collaborated with garden designers to create a specially designed multi-sensory long border at the RHS Flower Show at Tatton Park, which is on from Wednesday the 19th of July to Sunday the 23rd of July 2023. And I'm now joined by Anna Tyler, RNIB Chair of Trustees and a keen visually impaired gardener herself, and Natasha Lloyd, one of the garden designers who worked on Seeing Through the Senses. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Anna and Natasha.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you, Toby. It's lovely to be here.
Firstly, Anna, as a keen gardener yourself, you must be very excited about this collaboration between the RNIB and the Seeing Through the Senses garden designers, Natasha and Emma Jane Blair. As gardening is something, as visually impaired people, we can all sort of get involved in, no matter whether we have a garden or whether we don't have a garden or whether we might just have a few pots knocking around or a window box.
Well, the short answer to that is yes, Toby, but I don't suppose you imagine for 1 minute I'm going to stop there, because I grew up in a garden that produced flowers and vegetables, and we lived on the content of what we grew in our garden. And I can remember the very first thing that I grew, which was radishes. And the sort of instruction from my dad about how to plant the radish seed. And I really couldn't judge the distance. And he said, stick your finger in the ground. And that's what I did. So my early gardening experience began through trying to think a little bit creatively. And my dad thinking creatively about, well, you can't do it like this, so you can do it like that. And the radishes all came up and we ate them. And I've been gardening in a very limited way throughout the whole of my life. I wouldn't claim to be a great gardener, but it gives me huge satisfaction to plant a seed and watch that seed develop into a plant, and then to be able to cut sweet peas for the house, for example. Summer before last, I had sweet peas on my kitchen table for a good couple of months. There was never a day when I didn't have flowers from the garden in the house. And secondly, I love runner beans. So to be able to grow your own runner beans is a millionfold better than buying them in the supermarket. And this year, I'm sorry to report that the pigeons have devastated quite a lot of things like the basil and leafy veg, but I have had massive success with tomatoes, and there is huge, huge gratification around being able to eat the food that you've grown. And in some instances, when there's an abundance, to be able to jar it up over the winter and come back to it later on. I love it. And it plays to my interests in cooking, colour, nature, gardening. It's so incredibly soothing. I love it.
Natasha, when did you and Emma Jane Blair begin to get involved and work on the designs for Seeing Through the Senses? And what type of help and support and advice did you get from the RNIB on making the design as accessible as possible?
So we both had an interest in therapeutic garden design, and the RHS often will send out a sort of general call to design colleges and garden designers around their themes for the following year's gardens at Chelsea, Hampton Court and Tatton Park flower shows. And as soon as we saw it was a sensory long border, we were very keen to try and submit a design to the RHS. And we were thinking, both from sort of previous experience of college projects, about working with client groups with sensory loss. And then really sort of from there, thought about visual impairment and sight loss. And in fact, when we were researching the best type of planting to incorporate into the garden, we came across your fantastic fact sheet for gardeners, I think, which was produced with Thrive, the accessibility charity. And some of the advice on there was really informative and really helpful. And we read some blogs written by gardeners with visual impairments. And that really informed our planting choices and our interest in using a lot of high contrast colours, for example.
And what sort of other things have you incorporated into the multisensory long border to make it accessible? And maybe, I suppose, through things like touch and smell and sound, as well as the colours too?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, certainly having a lovely sensory garden, you do want to incorporate the senses more fully. So we've included lots of aromatic plants, but we've also been quite careful not to overwhelm the senses there, because I think if you have too many fragrant plants going on, that actually can be quite unpleasant. And so what we've tried to incorporate is some plants that actually release their fragrance more upon being touched. We've got some lovely tactile plants. That was a really key thing for us, this notion of having, and I think, Anna, you've talked about this before, navigational touch points around the garden. So you can feel a lovely fluffy Penicetum grass head, or touch the leaves of something like a Stachys, which has got little sort of white, almost furry hairs on, to navigate your way around. And of course, actually, that sensation in itself is inherently really quite lovely. And yes, just the sound of rustling leaves, the sound of wind blowing through grasses. And we've actually sort of worked with a lovely chap called Jeremy Hastings, who designs beautiful water features, and he creates slate water spheres. So you've got both a tactile sort of water feature with the slate, and also the sound of running water, which again adds that sort of extra dimension to the sensory layers of the garden.
And visitors to the RHS flower show at Tatton Park will also be able to use their smartphones and click on to QR codes to get a bit of an insight into the design and the plants that are used. Anna, this is a good way for visitors to get a real insight into how a garden can be made accessible for blind and partially sighted people, and maybe give them a little bit of an insight to what life is like with sight loss too.
I'm sure that's going to be the case. And actually, I think this notion of a sensory garden is really about good planting, good contrast, all the things that Natasha's been talking about. And there's something in this for sighted gardeners as well. So I'm not suggesting that this is a niche interest in any way, shape or form. I think this is good gardening for everyone, and hopefully this will inspire lots of people to take away some great ideas, whether you're visually impaired or whether you're not. I mean, isn't that the point of why people come to a show like this, is to be inspired? So I hope it's going to do its job. So do everybody use the QR codes and get the most that you can possibly get out of a great day out.
What would you both say would be your top tips for making an accessible garden for blind and partially sighted people, and maybe one or two things that might unlock those other senses that we all have? And Anna, maybe you first.
That's an enormous question, Toby. So I'm just thinking, I'm sitting here in my own garden because I work in a little office at the top of my garden. And as I come up the garden, there's lots of colour along the border edge. So it's great. So just sort of low flowering things like Johnson geraniums, which are blue, my favourite colour, provide good contrast. There's the ends of all kinds of limey coloured plants and what have you. So I know where the edge of the lawn is and the beginning of the border is. And I never cease, every time I come up and down this garden, I love it. I love the colour contrast. And I love the chimney pots that sit outside the door where I am now with all the grasses in them. They're all different colours. They've all got different feels to them. And if I've got 5 minutes between calls, I like to nip out and sort of run my hand up the lavender, but not too much at this time of year because you don't want to get stung by a bee, which has happened to me. And the grasses, just all the things that Natasha was talking about, really. Mine is, it's on a very modest scale, and I wouldn't pretend to be a brilliant gardener, but I do love it.
And Natasha, what sort of top tips would you suggest?
I've just been nodding vigorously throughout everything Anna's just said there. I think one of the choices we've made is to use really high contrasting colours. So we've chosen purples and yellows, which are on opposite sides of the colour wheel. I mean, obviously, there's a design thinking in here because colour theory dictates that opposite colours actually sit harmoniously together. But of course, they do provide this lovely high contrast. Sometimes yellow in gardens is a little bit divisive in the garden design world. Sometimes clients will say, oh, you know, don't want yellows, but actually they really offset purples beautifully and blues. And they just bring a bit of sunshine and joy to the garden, in my view. But I think that high contrast, those decisions are really important to create something that is much more clearly visible, but also looks lovely. And I think, as Anna said, this is about broadening our message, actually, to show visitors to say, this border, you could sort of put this into your own garden. It looks great, but actually it's also fantastically, you know, sensory and we hope accessible. And yes, I mean, we hope that lots of people will appreciate the colours, the textures, the sounds and the smells from the garden.
Is there one particular thing that you would both like visitors to the flower show to come away with from visiting Seeing Through the Senses, Anna, first?
Well, for me, this is about good design. And I think that good garden design plays to everybody's interest. And what Natasha is describing is not just niche for visually impaired or blind people. It's just great gardening and it works for everyone.
Natasha?
Yes, I would wholeheartedly concur with that. Yes, and I think that a few careful choices around the plants you use can look beautiful. Obviously, we're planting for things that look great in July, which isn't realistic necessarily for full seasonal interest. But, you know, just having those colour combinations in mind and having textural contrast, I think, is very important as well, that having some foliage plants, having different flower forms, having the grasses, which just are fantastic value in a garden. Those kind of decisions, I think, are really important, and hopefully what visitors will see in the garden will inspire them to go and recreate something at home.
Don't forget that you can visit and experience Seeing Through the Senses at the Royal Horticultural Society's Flower Show at Tatton Park, which is on from Wednesday the 19th of July to Sunday the 23rd of July. And more details about the show can be found on the RHS website, that's rhs.org.uk. And for more about making your garden accessible for blind and partially sighted people, you can visit the RNIB website, that's rnib.org.uk. UK. Well, thank you very much indeed, Anna and Natasha, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about Seeing Through the Senses.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.